Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to Believe in K-State, hosted by Joe Matthew and Reggie Blackwell. On this week's episode, we talk about the win against West Virginia and preview the Sunflower Showdown, where if K-State wins, they earn a spot in the Big 12 championship game. But first, a message from our sponsor.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bets. Use promo code BLEAV50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's promo code BLEAV50. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Believe in K-State, and I believe, Reggie. Do you believe?
I believe, Joe. Hey, if you can't believe now, we're 8-3. We're on the cusp of a Big 12 championship. We got our conference rival, KU, coming to town. All the stars are lining up. All we have to do is just take care of business one more week, and we're headed to Dallas.
Yeah, I like our chances, man. I'm thinking Big 12 champions. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves, but hey, I think it's looking good.
Hey, it's definitely looking good for us getting there. But I tell you, it's been a rocky season, Joe, and it has went by very quickly. We're on our final podcast of the regular season. Yeah. We'll have some postseason action coming up. But we'll do a quick recap of West Virginia, get into this Sunflower Showdown. And then, Joe, we got to talk about the possibilities of a Big 12 championship as well. So we got a lot to cover today.
Yes, sir. Where do you want to start with this West Virginia game?
You know, West Virginia game, a little auspicious game to start. You know, it looks like we're getting ready to just blow them out with a quick touchdown. You know, the nice opening drive. I did like the fact of Chris Kleiman taking the ball, winning the toss and receiving the ball, going down to get the score, getting some confidence. And then we come right back with a pick six. Look like we're going to blow these guys out, but West Virginia comes back and fights hard.
Yeah, I mean, we got out to that 14-0 lead on that, you know, after that pick six by Sincere Mason. So, I thought the route was on, but no, West Virginia really never went away in the game. They had their own pick six of their, you know, of Will Howard, you know, got right back in the game. And K-State could luckily score when we had to kind of keep the distance from West Virginia. But West Virginia put up some yards and some points. They had a receiver, Sam James, at 3 touchdowns, 102 yards receiving. And he had, I think, 71-yard touchdown pass that he caught. So, yeah, it was kind of nervous there for a while. But the first quarter, what was it, 28-19 after one quarter? That's a lot of scoring.
Yeah, it was on pace to be a 100-point game. Yeah.
Yeah, both teams kind of slowed down there in the third quarter, and I don't think anyone scored in the third quarter, and K-State ended up touchdown to Malik Knowles there in the fourth quarter kind of give them some breathing room. But I think overall the Cats look pretty good. We've got some questions on defense now. I think with Sincere Mason, they said it's out for the season now, which is disappointing. He was playing great. So we'll see what happens in that secondary. The secondary's been playing great all year, so I'm a little bit concerned, but I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, you talk a little bit about West Virginia, and a couple of my key takeaways from the game, Joe. I never thought that Kansas State was in trouble of losing the game. We were always a little bit one step ahead. But I do think that Kansas State may have took West Virginia, not for granted, but I think when we got off to the big lead, they thought they were just going to go away and kind of lay down, you know, kind of like Oklahoma State did, and we would have gone to a big win. But that team showed some grit. The quarterback, Green, showed some grit. And we gave up a couple of explosive plays. You mentioned already to James, the receiver. Got behind us on a couple big plays. Those are some of the things, though, Joe, that we cannot do when we play the TCUs of the world, or if we get into a Sugar Bowl possibility and play one of these top SEC schools. We can't have those type of plays because it's hard to try to get into a shootout of some of the teams that play a little better football than us. I mean, that have more talent. And you can't try to keep step for step. We were more talented than West Virginia. So we can play a somewhat subpar game and still win by 17 points. You can't do that against TCU.
You're right about that.
You know, and that, so that was a little bit of my biggest concern. And I know we are missing Kobe Savage. Now we're going to be missing Sincere Mason. There's going to have to be some patchwork done at the safety position. We shouldn't have any issues there. And we've played a lot of people at safety. So yeah. I'm like you, Joe. I think we'll be okay, but it will make a big difference because Savage was a very big impact. Mm-hmm. And then you go to Mason, you have another injury. So now you start getting down to the guy that's in the third spot or so, it could get interesting.
Yeah, good. And that's kind of what worries me about the game Saturday more than anything else. We'll get into that, I guess. But yeah, injuries have really hurt this team this year from possibly even being undefeated.
Right.
Tulane.
Correct.
Yeah, they, I don't know about that one per se, but there were other problems in that game. But yeah, injuries have hurt the team. Daniel Green was out, and that really hurt. And when Daniel Green has been playing for this defense, the defense has played well.
Right.
And I think he's the key piece of the defense. Now, Savage did play well, but I think Daniel Green is the leader. And I think as long as he's out there, I have a good feeling about the defense playing well enough to get things done.
Yeah. I think coming into, I mean, playing a road game, and when I kind of evaluate K-State, whether it's offensively and defense, you know you're going to get the teams a little bit better oomph on the road. It's just nature of a conference road game. You see what happened to Tennessee going on the road playing a South Carolina team, you know, that's very undermanned, and they come out of the blow and wreck their playoff hopes. It's just Morgantown, when you go back at the record, we haven't won there that often, Joe.
No.
You know, we don't win there. We took care of business. We've only won there when the last time, probably 2014 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know we play there every other year, but we don't win there all the time. So at the end of the day, it's as tough as I'm kind of being a little bit critical of the defense. I didn't like some of the things that I saw. We gave up some yardage. I don't think we tackled particularly well. I just don't think from a motivational standpoint, we attacked the runners and did the things we need to do, like what we did going down to Baylor. Baylor, we were locked in, and that was a road game to be able to do that. But I do expect the defense to come back this week, Joe, and play lights out. I think they're going to take some pride in the effort that took place last week. That was a performance that was not up to their standard. The offense basically covered us last week because they were scoring on basically every possession. So, and we did get the one turnover on defense, so a touchdown. That was one bright spot. But other than that, I just don't think we tackled well. We attacked well. Our angles wasn't as well on defense. And some of that was to do with West Virginia having some pretty good schemes and playing well. And then a lot of it was just to do with us not being as disciplined and doing the things we need to do that we've seen week in and week out as well.
Yeah, and I think West Virginia showed up and wanted to win the game, and I think they were pumped up to win. That Garrett Green had his first start. He came in relief the prior game and played pretty well, so that gave him the start against K-State. So I think their team kind of rallied around him. You know, they did play well on offense for sure. You know, our offense pretty much did whatever they wanted to, I thought, for the most part. So I was never really worried in the game. I understand you being critical of the defense. I was too. You never like giving up 71-yard touchdown passes, that's for sure. But I thought overall it was a really good effort, and I was pleased with the team overall, I guess I would say.
And I agree with you, because at the end of the day, they did what they needed to do, Joe, and they did still win by 17 points.
Yeah.
They got the road win. They took care of business, and I'm pleased with them as well, because at the end of the day, we just needed to come out of there with a W to get it done. You know, back-to-back road games in the Big 12, that's not easy, no matter who's on your schedule. So that's definitely excited to get the W.
And I believe this year's team set or tied the K-State record for road victories.
They did. Yeah, they tied.
Was it the 2012 team and maybe the 98 team?
Correct. That's exactly right.
Okay, yeah.
All right. So the 2012 team is the year that we won the Big 12. And then, you know, that 98 team was one of the better teams we ever had as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. It's hard to win on the road, but they got some great work. Yeah. Well, I got a lot of candidates, Joe.
I figured you would.
for Reggie's Big Baller of the Week for K-State, we got some candidates. And once again, the list has a little bit on offense and we have a little bit on defense, but I'm going to start off with the man who had the keys to the car, Will Howard. He's a candidate. He was 19 of 27. He had 294 yards. He threw two touchdowns. He did throw the pick six. But what I was happy about, Joe, was the composure and the moxie of him to be settled down, to not get rattled off the pick six. That did scare me when that happened in the game. Yep. I was wanted to see mentally how he was going to come back from that. And that alone has shown me a lot of maturity. I'm glad it happened in the game against the West Virginia and not in a Big 12 championship atmosphere, but it did show me that he had a lot of maturity.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it any better myself, and that's exactly what I commented is it worried me when it happened. I thought, oh, no, here we go. But it didn't faze him at all. He just came right back and played well the rest of the game. And that was great to see in it. Yeah, like you mentioned, the maturity of him. He was never rattled, never got nervous, just came right back in and ran the offense. Now, he did throw another pass that could have been picked off. That wasn't. But that didn't faze him either. He's not changing his game based on making those little small mistakes. Now, a pick six isn't a small mistake. It's a big mistake. But he just kind of came back in and said, all right, put it behind me. let's move on. And that's exactly what he did. And that was good to see.
No doubt. So he's definitely a nominee. Will Howard, once again, showed a lot of steady Eddie, pulling the trigger, knew he was going to be the starter, and he held up to his to a great standard. The next one is Malik Knowles, 6 receptions, 111 yards, a 43 long touchdown. Great work with him, but also he had 3 return yards for 98 yards, an average of 32 yards, and a long of 39 yards as well. So he did it in the receiving angle, and he had another almost 100 yards. So he had about 200-something yards, all-purpose yards for Malik Knowles on the day. He just looks better and better every week. He looks like he's about ready to pop one on the kickoff. And he made a couple great plays, catch and run on a couple plays to get into the end zone. And this guy's playing some good football right now.
I thought he was going to return one for a touchdown on Saturday, but he didn't. And one of the people that I watched the game with remarked, "This is the Malik Knowles I've been waiting to see." And oh, yeah. I agreed with them on that for sure. Like you said, he's getting better and better every game. And this is the potential we all saw with him earlier on in his career, and we're not seeing that come to fruition.
No, exactly. Well, what I liked, he done it. He caught 6 passes, but like you say, he's a step or two away from breaking one on the kickoff. And when you can average 32 yards on each return and 1 for 39 yards, that's putting the offense in great field position starting out.
Yeah.
Okay, another one of the potential candidates for Reggie's Big Baller of the Week is our good friend Ben Sennett, who won it last week. He had another touchdown, only 3 receptions, but 85 yards in receiving yards, and he had a long of 39. But a very impactful day for him as well, Joe.
Yeah, that touchdown pass was just a great catch by him. That's another pass that was close. It could have been defended or maybe even intercepted by the defender. But, yeah, Sennett made a great play on that and got the touchdown.
And then my other one on the offense side, my last candidate on the offensive side, he didn't quite have 100 yards, but Giddings. 12 carries, 78 yards, a 49-yard touchdown. DJ Giddings is getting better and better as the season goes on. The young freshman is looking like he's going to have a very good, impactful career as a running back at Kansas State.
Yeah, for the first time, he outgained Deuce Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
So he's really coming up. I really like him. And you and I have said from the beginning of the season, we wanted to see him on the field more in relief of.
And Deuce. They made a concerted effort of, yep. And they made a concerted effort to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You're exactly right. So those are my offensive candidates. On defense, I got to go with my man, Brendan Mott, 3 sacks on the game, Joe.
Yeah, amazing.
3 sacks. He had 8 total tackles, 5 solo. And then also Daniel Green had 7 tackles, 3 solo. But Brendan Mott, 3 sacks in a game, Joe, it is making my decision extremely hard to pick my big baller of the week, because we've got some extraordinary candidates this week.
Well, Mott was the conference defensive player of the week.
Exactly. I know he was a Big 12. Congratulations to him. So, hey, I'm a defensive guy, Joe. I love the offense, but I got to go with my good buddy, Mr. Mott. 3 sacks on the day, 3 sacks in a game. along with 8 total tackles. Hey, that's the type of football you want to play from a defensive standpoint. And he is Reggie's big ball of the week. Mr. Mott, got to get it done. Brendan Mott, the junior from Iowa City, Iowa. Young guys has been working his tail off and had a hell of a game.
I'm right with you on that one. He'd be my pick.
Yeah, and we had some great offensive performance. It was tough with him and Knowles. But I got to go with Mott with 3 sacks on the game.
Man.
This young man is putting himself in a great position. He's got 6 sacks on the year, right behind Phoenix. So he's doing very well on the season.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's it. So Brendan Mott, congratulations. Reggie's big baller of the week. And that kind of wraps us up for West Virginia. Now we get on to the Sunflower Showdown, Joe, against KU. Probably one of the biggest games where these teams come in with a lot on the line, where it was a competitive look on paper situation in a long time. But Kansas State's got everything on the line. Very simple. We win, we're in.
That's right. The motivation is there. Get the win. Like TCU in the Big 12 championship game. So there's no lack of motivation for the K-State players and coaches, and there never really should be. But there's that little extra motivation for this week, knowing that they can play for a Big 12 championship next week if they win. And that's part of the reason. I don't think there's any reason not to be pumped up and excited and focused on this game. I think they're going to get it done even more than normal. And, you know, Kleiman has done great against KU. I realize, you know, Leipold has them kind of going right now on the upward trend. But KU has problems on defense, especially stopping the run. And that's one of K-State's strengths as a team. So I don't know how KU's going to stop the K-State running game, and that's going to spell trouble for them.
Yeah, KU, they look horrible against Texas. We didn't do well against Texas either. But KU looked even worse. They couldn't stop a nosebleed. Everything that Texas did, they was able to do. I think KU is going to come out spirited initially. But Kansas State at home, I think we'll pound the ball. I think we'll mix in some pass. I think we'll get a little quarterback run game going with Howard. I just think we have way too many weapons. And then I just think defensively, whether they go with Bean or if they go with the other quarterback, Daniels, I think we'll come back with a more solid defense performance from last week. The crowd is going to be bananas. It's going to be a late game coming off a holiday weekend. The crowd is, like I said, it's going to be bananas. I just think all the elements for K-State lines up for a very comfortable win. And I just think we getting KU at the right time. They're losing, 5 out of the last 6 games. I think they got out to a great start, but the way they schedule lined up, all their competitive teams were on the back end of their schedule. Mm-hmm. And I still think inevitably Lance Leipold has done a hell of a job at KU. He's put them in a great position to be able to go to a bowl game. But I do think they're still behind Kansas State in the talent pool and the coaching. We're still a little bit of step ahead. But KU is coming. They're coming on our heels.
Yeah, we'll get into our predictions here in a minute. But I wanted to ask you a question. As a player, was your preparation or focus any different the week of the KU game? We always heard that Bill Snyder really focused on this game when he was the coach. And I think Kleiman does the same thing. Or at least it seems that way, because he's not had a problem with KU at all since he's been the coach. So I wanted to ask you if, as from a player's perspective, if your focus changed at all during KU week.
You know, I think this game is very important for the Kansas players, and there was a lot of Kansas players on our roster. Not saying it was not important for me. Yes, it was important for us as a rivalry, but it was important for us to get the win for the Kansas players, to make sure that they can keep those bragging rights. Yes, we want the bragging rights as well as a team, but I don't think we did anything particularly different that week. But yes, you can tell the intensity and the ratchet of the focus just across the board was elevated for a rivalry against KU, because that was one game, no matter what your record was, or what your schedule, you know, where you was at, you did not want to lose to KU. You didn't want to lose. And it was a, you know, all the games are important, but it's a rivalry. It's a rivalry. Yeah. But we didn't do anything differently that week. But you do have a little bit more conversations with the, you know, like I said, the in-state players, the Kansas guys that are on your roster, because they know a lot of these players and played against them in high school, et cetera. And you want to always get the win for them.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you always hear about that. You know, it means a lot for the Kansas players. They want to prove to everybody they made the right choice and where they decided to go to school.
Now, you got to understand, too, the last time the Kansas Jayhawks won in Manhattan, Kansas, was my freshman year, Joe, 1989.
Wow, I didn't realize that, I guess.
Bill Snyder's first recruiting year when they won in Manhattan. Now they did BK State a couple years when Mangino had some time, and we lost when we went over there during my tenure, but not in Manhattan. It's been 1989 since Kansas has won a game in Manhattan, Kansas. That's a long time ago, Joe.
Yeah, it is.
Sure. Well, you got to figure we won how many in a row? 13?
14, I think. 2008 was KU's last win. It may be 13. Yeah. We got to do the math. This would be 14, I guess, probably.
This would be 14. Yeah. So we won 13 in a row. So it's we've taken care of business against KU. So if we don't, I mean, just to put this in perspective, not to put a lot of pressure on Kansas State and Klieman and the crew, this will be a monumental loss if they were to lose this game.
Yeah. Oh, I don't even want to think about it.
Right. It would be historic, just giving the importance of where it's at leading into a Big 12 championship, the streak that we got at home over KU, you know, it would be unbelievable. So I think the players know that. I don't think they'll try to do too much more out of their character than what they would normally do. I think they'll be laser focused in their preparation in practice today, Wednesday and Thursday, to get going. I think they'll still take this as 1 week season at a time, which they've been doing every week. And I think Klieman has done a great job of keeping the team focused of 12 1 week seasons. And I think they'll go take care of business. But back in their mind, emotionally, trust me, he's got a few Kansas players probably sent in some videos and talking to the team, and there's a little inspiration going. You do not want to lose to KU.
So what do you think, man? What's your prediction?
I'm thinking, as I said, I think it's senior night. I think the emotions will be running high. I think we'll get off to a pretty good start. We'll have to settle down a little bit, you know, kind of get into our game plan. And I think we'll win the game 38-21. I think we'll win it comfortably. I think Kansas will hang a little bit, but I think we'll pull away and win comfortably.
Jalen Daniels played on Saturday, but I think he's still feeling that injury. He was mostly just a pocket passer in the game. So, there wasn't much to the quarterback running game or scrambling game. So I think KU may stick with K-State for a little bit in the game. But KU's defense is just porous, and K-State is going to be able to run the ball at will. I'm thinking something around 41-20, something like that. I think 3 touchdowns. Okay. And yeah. I never pick K-State to win by that much, but I just have a really good feeling about this one. I don't think it's going to be much of a game in the second half. It may be close by halftime, but I think K-State probably pulls away there in the second half and wins rather easily.
I agree with you. Like I say, our podcast is Believe in K-State. We've been believing. If they can finish the regular season 9-3, that's one win off from where I thought they would be. I was hoping 10-2, but if we can get to 9-3 and get to a Big 12 championship, that's a very, very, very good year for the Wildcats.
Yeah, I had 9-3, but I am losing the wrong 3, I guess. Well, I had them beating TCU at the beginning of the year, and they ended up losing to them. But yeah, I had them 9-3, so this would make me seem very smart.
Make you seem, hey, Joe, you're going to be dead on. You'll be dead on. We don't matter what the 3 is, but it does put it in perspective before we close the show out, Joe, of how close, if we do go on and beat KU, of where we really could have been, particularly in the TCU game. I think if the quarterback situation, Howard, doesn't get hurt, I really think that game goes differently. Texas, we may have just lost that game legitimately. Mm-hmm. They beat us, but I still think we had some chances in that game. And then Tulane is just really going to be an eyesore that you go back and say, look, you can't take a week off.
Right.
Because we really could have been in a position to be something very special. It's already special. You don't win Big 12 championships all the time. We haven't won one since 2012. So,
yeah.
And we've only won 2 in the history of the Big 12 been in its infancy. And that's always going back to the Snyder days. So it's not easy to do.
No, it's not. And if they do go on to win it, they can we'll point to ourselves as a good luck charm. We started a podcast and they won the Big 12. So we'll take credit for that.
We'll take our credit for that one. No doubt. No doubt. It'd be the second time of us getting in there, getting it done in the history. And it'll be kudos to Climbing and that staff.
Yeah.
So, well, Joe, looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Yes, sir.
Go Wildcats. We'll be able to close it out. We'll have to bring a little bigger coat. It'll probably be a little chilly Saturday night.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
But it don't look like it's going to be unbearably chilly. That's good.
Yeah. Like in the 50s, maybe during the day, and then at night it'll get chilly. But that's all right. Football weather. I'm good with it.
Definitely football weather. Well, you have a good one, brother.
Everyone have a good Thanksgiving, and thanks for all our followers, and thanks, everybody, for liking and sharing the podcast and all the great comments we've been getting, and I hope everyone has a great Thanksgiving. You too, Reggie.
You too. Have a great holiday.
All right, man. K-State. Brought to you by Ben Online.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.